alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Dominic Lawton can be wild. Welcome to the Bad Movie Cult.
My film is called Kung Fu Cockney. Yeah.
Okay.
Starring some kid from EastEnders. I can't think of any English child actors at the moment.
Danny Dyer.
Yep, he'll do.
Yep.
Yep, so Danny Dyer as a child.
Okay.
Well, it worked for Ralph. He wasn't a kid, was he?
22, yeah.
Okay. I've also got an English woman. I haven't got... that's going to be his mum, so it needs to be older than Danny Dyer.
Right, yeah. The one that plays that black-haired one that's a bit of a chav. I don't know what her name is.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know EastEnders
thanks,
that well.
Thanks for joining in. How about Lena Headey? Is she Headley?
Lena? I think she's probably the same age as Danny Dyer, isn't she?
Yeah, but Danny Dyer's not a kid. I need a child. The child has to be the main character.
I don't know.
You've given me Danny Dyer as a ridiculous suggestion for a child, haven't you?
When I
mentioned EastEnders, you shouldn't have immediately focused on any character from EastEnders.
Okay, yeah. So some Cockney kid from... Yeah. What about Daniel Radcliffe? Is he Cockney? He's English.
He can be, can't he?
Yeah.
He's not a child, though, is he anymore?
I don't know, probably.
Yeah, okay, right, we'll have him then.
Yeah.
Okay, so Daniel Radcliffe is a child. English female woman.
Danny Dyer.
His daughter.
His daughter, yeah.
Okay, so she's involved. She's Daniel Radcliffe's mom.
Right.
Who leave London to go and live in South Central Los Angeles due to some financial thing that we're unaware of.
They can fly for 12 hours.
Yeah, but that's it. They spent all their money on the flight. When they get there, they're entirely reliant on their granddad.
Right.
Played by Dave Lee.
Oh, I think you heard Dick Van Dyke.
No.
With
no,
his
no,
Cockney
no.
accent.
Dick Van Dyke, he was going to be in there, but I think he's died.
I think he's still alive.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Dick Van Dyke.
Dave Lee in his Batman outfit.
Yep, he's got his ponytail. He's living out there. Jaden Smith, was he in the reboot of The Karate Kid?
Okay, yeah.
Was he?
Oh. I'm not sure. It's one of the Smith kids, yeah.
I think it's whichever kid's in the that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was this a sequel?
No. He's back. He's the bad guy in
oh,
this.
Okay.
So it's kind of a nod towards it, but it's got nothing to do with it because
it's Cockney.
Because the production company wouldn't allow it. So it's totally independent. Yeah, he's the bad guy. He's in a gang in South Central Los Angeles. And it basically, rather than it just being a karate tournament, it's a street fight at the end.
Oh, like Rocky V.
Kind of, yeah.
As a highlight of the series.
We've got a girl interest, mm-hmm. some Asian girl.
Yeah.
From Maze Runner. I looked it up, trying to find the name of an Asian actress.
And, what about Bei
Ling? Lots of them were in Maze Runner.
Right.
So I've just put Maze.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the girl from Scott Pilgrim, that's who we go with.
Okay, then. So she's the girl, she's the love interest for, who's the kid?
Daniel.
Yeah. That's it. Same plot.
What's
Daniel,
it called?
Daniel, Kung Fu Cockney. Daniel Radcliffe comes in. He's, you know, I don't want to be here. Call blimey, governor. Who's the mum? Danny Dyer. So like, shut it.
Shut it, you tart.
Shut it, you slag.
Yeah.
We're here. We're about to make the most of it. Dave Lee's the granddad who's got to train Daniel Radcliffe in the martial arts.
You want to see one of my special kicks?
Because he wants to see some of his special kicks. Jaden Smith is the bad guy. not really bad, but just kind of like, you know, keeps provoking Daniel Radcliffe to say, why are you at my school? You're twice my age.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is fair. Who's the girlfriend again? Sorry, I'm sure.
Knives Chow from Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, you said it? Oh, is it? All right. Okay. Yeah. So Scott Pilgrim's the girlfriend. I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
And the end is a street fight. If Daniel Radcliffe wins, then the gang leave him alone. If he loses, Jaden Smith will gut him like a fish on the streets and then hang him from a bridge.
What's the name of Daniel Radcliffe's character in this? Because you've got Danny LaRusso. It's a pretty cool 80s name.
Chase Ryder.
Okay.
Yeah.
And his mom?
Karen.
Karen Ryder.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you know where I got Chase Ryder from?
No.
It's a bus that goes past my house. I keep seeing it and I keep thinking that would be a good name for a character, Chase Ryder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because it goes through Cannock Chase. So right. It's called the Chase Ryder.
Nice. It sounds like an Old West fucking stagecoach.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's his name anyway. That's Radcliffe's character, Chase Ryder.
Because who's the trainer for Jaden Smith?
Carl Weathers. What sort of a question is that? It's Carl Weathers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he just called Carl Weathers?
Of course he is, yeah.
What's his dojo called?
Sensei Carl Weathers.
Sensei Weathers.
Yeah. What's funny about that?
Oh, God. What's his dojo called? Because you've got Cobra Kai's pretty cool.
It's just called Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers Dojo.
It's called Stormy Weathers. Yeah. Stormy Weathers Dojo. Yeah?
Yeah.
You having that?
I'm having it, yeah.
Okay, and that's it. That's the plot. It's the same plot. Exactly the same as Karate Kid, but Kung Fu Cockney. I did actually call it Kung Fu Cockney Kid, but I thought that's too long.
Yeah.
So I cut that out. Kung Fu Kid, stupid. Kung Fu Cockney. Yeah, niche audience.
I think anyone in the hunt for Cockney gangster films or anything like that, if they couldn't find the most recent Danny Dyer film, they're gonna watch
if they look up Dyer, exactly, yeah, you've got the connection.
They're gonna watch his daughter train Daniel Radcliffe at Kung Fu.
She's not training them. It's Dave Lee.
You're gonna watch Dave Lee
doing his special kicks.
Famous for being Batman stunt double training Harry Potter on how to be a karate expert.
After beat up Will Smith's son. That's it. As I say, it's not much of a plot.
No.
It's just the same plot.
Have you got a tagline?
Oh, what did you say it should be?
No sensei.
No mercy.
No mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's just got his granddad.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, that's in brackets. I've just got my granddad.
All right, son. All right, son, you're all right, are you? That's what he says when he turns up.
I like the poster to be Daniel Radcliffe and Dave Lee back to back, staring at the camera.
Yeah. And Dave Lee's holding his gi, like some sort of cool blimey governor.
Yeah, and character. Dave Lee's ponytail's draped over Daniel Radcliffe's face.
Yeah. Why wouldn't your granddad do that too?
It's a...
Every photograph.
It's an old Cockney tradition. You've not heard of it.
What's it called?
It's called the Cockney Tail.
The tail draper.
Yeah.
That's what he used to be known as when he was fighting.
It's called Granddad. For a living. It's called Granddad's ponytail.
Granddad's tail. Don't look at Granddad's tail.
It's called hide behind Granddad's tail.
Don't touch Granddad's tail.
That's more of a warning. And on that then, let's bring this podcast to a close.
Please.
It's alive!
This is going to be a sequel to Hard to Kill.
Yes.
It's going to be called Steven Seagal is Harder to Kill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm liking that.
This is set 7 years in the future from... So this is a period piece itself. It's 1997.
Nice.
Steven Seagal is
Mason Storm. Yeah, yes. Keeping his name, yeah.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. All same characters.
Yes. How old? I'm just thinking, how old would the son be then?
I don't know how old he was in this one.
Yeah, I don't know, about
17?
He'd be 17 now.
Don't know. I'm not sure how old he was in the other one.
Yeah. So we've got to think of someone to cast for here. Anyway, and Kelly LeBrock, I don't think we can get Seagal and Kelly LeBrock in the same film nowadays.
Hmm. Depends what's the budget.
We're going to have to get a stunt double for Seagal when Kelly LeBrock's on set, I think, because I don't think they're the best of friends.
He uses that anyway, doesn't he? He uses stunt doubles all the time. As long as you can't see his face, it doesn't matter.
So what's happened is Seagal, he's on a job. He's got his reconnaissance again. This time he's got two cameras, one on each shoulder.
The maniac.
You know, 97, they've gone a bit smaller now. You can actually fit them both in the same trunk of the same car now. So he's
not going to get a lorry or something.
No,
or
he's not.
Truck.
Yeah, he doesn't need a second man to help him with the camera setup.
Why has he got two cameras?
Because.
Is he filming two people?
No, he's got more elaborate. He really enjoys filmmaking. So
he's got a different angle.
He's got a different angle, yeah, in case he doesn't quite get the shot. And it's very nicely well hidden, just in the tapes to the corner of the room ceiling.
Nice.
And the other one, he's holding himself. He's on the fire escape outside.
Holding himself in a room. You're going to see him, aren't you?
He's on the fire escape outside.
At least in the first one, he was just like a distance away on the docks. But if he's in the same room, you're going to see him.
Yeah. And
fire escape though, fair enough.
Yeah, fire escape, and he's looking through the window. Unfortunately, to zoom on these things, it only goes so far, so we will have to sort of lean into the room at some various points.
100% unnoticed.
It's the limitations of the technology of the time. And basically what it is, it's Seagal weeding out the rest of the dirty cops that he left from the first film. I should have pointed out, actually, this is set straight after, so this is 1990, the first bit. And what happens is, as he's leaning in...
So this is still 1990?
To start with, yes.
Right, okay. Oh, good. Oh, we're going to get a caption saying 7 years later?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I mean, I'm interested already.
Yeah. And as he's recording, he's got the cops talking to each other, that he's trying to find out, who's paying these cops off. He's already got an inkling of... who the main players are, but he doesn't know quite how far the corruption goes. And during the conversation, one of the cops goes to close the window and inadvertently knocks Seagal over the fire escape.
Hang on. Is he right outside the window? How have they not seen him? He's 6'5".
Well, I'm glad you've asked, because he's heavily camouflaged in a white shirt and waistcoat, polka dot waistcoat.
So he just looks like the knight.
And leather jacket.
The night sky.
Yes. So they shut the window and it hits his camera, because they've got a bit of weight on the back end, those things, because it's got to be plugged into the generator.
What floor is this room on?
Third.
That's a long wire, isn't it? It's a long cable. He's hooked up.
Well, it's actually plugged into the room they're in.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, not noticed that then.
Yeah, so he stepped back.
Not noticed the same size camera taped to the wall?
Well, you know, they're meeting in a hotel, so they think it's, we'll get the security footage at the end of this. And he stumbles back. You know, the back end of those 1990s cameras takes him over the edge.
Yeah.
And as he falls, you see in the room.
Yeah, carry on.
The wires just rip the camera from the corner. Rip that out. That goes through the window.
Oh, right, yeah.
The plug that comes straight out as well.
Yeah.
And then they'll. Rush to the window and look down, and they see Seagal's they see Seagal's prone on the roof of his own car. And Kelly LeBrock,
what's she doing?
She was his driver for this.
She get out and have a look at his dick.
there's no time for that. She just drives off and saxophone plays.
Quite right, yeah.
And she drives off with him still. Roof of the car. And
how can she see?
And the cameras are like, you know, like when just people are just married.
Dragging behind them.
Yeah, the cans.
Some sparks flying off and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then it pans up to Steven Seagal is harder to kill. So that's my opening. And it turns out he's in another 7-year coma.
Bloody hell.
Because as you well know, once you've had a concussion...
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're liable for more, aren't you?
For more 7-year repeats. He's going to be very careful. And so, yeah, that kicks the film off. What do you reckon?
Well, that's a hell of an opening. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in for this straight away. Yeah. Who's looking after him now, then?
Well, it's Kelly LeBrock, and it's the doctor whose house they he's still working off that debt, you see, at the house.
Oh, right, yeah. Has he come back from China?
Yeah.
He has.
Yeah, he has.
I'm glad to meet him.
The doctor is played by Carl Weathers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So he's a... It's imagine that. You wreck Kelly LeBrock wrecks Carl Weathers' house.
Oh, man, that'd be hell to pay.
Yeah. Speaking of toupee, Steven Seagal is comatose and comatose. That should have been. That's the tagline.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal is comatose.
Toast.
And basically, it's exactly the same plot pretty much as the first one. Just
nobody's dead.
Sorry.
Nobody's dead.
Well, Seagal nearly is.
Yeah, but
luckily he's hard
he's
to
not.
Kill.
Yeah, but so what?
Well, they need to.
Who's he after?
He's, why? He's after weeding out the corruption in the force.
Oh right, so they're not going to kill anyone. They're not going to kill LeBrock.
Well, they would like to.
Well, okay. So would Seagal probably, but no. Cut that out, just in case.
So yeah, that's the plot.
So nobody's dead.
No, but they know that Seagal's hot on their tail. So the best thing for us to do, that he's, I think, one of them says, "I could be wrong on this, guys. I think he might have caught us on camera." So,
as a man with a huge camera falls off a fire escape, ripping another massive camera off the wall. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, Ken, yes. I'm glad you've kept up.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to have to explain away why Seagal's about 10 stone heavier than he is. We're going to have to do some sort of CGI work on him, I think. He's obviously not going to be able to take the fall
off.
We'll
use the Robert De Niro footage and use the same sort of technology.
Oh, yeah, because that looked
Robert
good, didn't
De Niro,
it?
Yeah, he looked a lot younger.
Yeah. Yeah, he moved a lot younger as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's the first half of the film is Carl Weathers and Kelly LeBrock trying to keep him alive. And as they're doing this, I think Carl Weathers is going to be killed.
What?
Yeah, we've got to lose him.
Nobody kills Carl Weathers except Carl Weathers.
Well, that's exactly what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's Seagal wakes up and finds out that Dr. Carl Weathers has been killed.
By himself, though.
Yeah.
He can't kill himself.
He swears revenge.
Because it wasn't a suicide, it was really the corruption.
Yes.
Ah, thank God for that.
Yeah. Well, no, it actually was a suicide, but Seagal thinks it was corruption.
So he's mistaken.
He's mistaken, yeah.
Wow.
And then, yeah, the second half of the film is him getting, I think, like a Terminator-style shootout in the police headquarters. We need a main bad guy. Basically, it's going to be the mafia who are still bribing the policemen, you know, from the first film. And then we need a main head.
Could we have the same mafia guy? Because he was never in it again. So he's still, as far as we know, at large.
Well, I think he would be in prison because of the footage at the end. And it's going to be his son who's taken over, who wants to get revenge.
Who's playing his son? The Mafia son?
I think we should probably get Joe Pesci again in de-aging makeup.
That's a lot of expense here.
Yeah.
In just not getting somebody younger. Why would we not just get somebody younger than Joe Pesci? Because he's not going to do this.
Really,
Joe Pesci and Steven Seagal.
Imagine that, though.
It'd be awful.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Right, okay, no, somebody else. We can't have Joe Pesci. He's out of our league on this.
Well, that wasn't a binding. Okay, so...
Well, good.
Ray Liotta.
It's only 7 years later. This guy's... No way has he got a son that old.
Well, he was quite old. He was an old fat guy, wasn't he? The crime boss from the first one.
He's not going to be old enough to have Ray Liotta as his son.
Yeah. We'll placeholder Ray Liotta in there. And then we'll have the...
We got enough money for his catering budget.
No, not by a bloody long shot.
I'm not sure about that.
No, you're right. We definitely can't have him then. No, cross that out.
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Not this time.
Okay. Well, I'll keep him in mind, though. I'll put him on the list.
What about Max from Killer Queen, from The Babysitter?
Why not?
Yeah, let's get him in. Let's get him. And then we need a policeman who's taking bribes under the counter. I was thinking Paul Giamatti.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in the police force, and he's the one sorting...
What's his job in the police force? Because he must be quite high up with his age, his seniority.
Yeah, he's... I don't know.
The chief. Why don't you just call him the chief?
He's not the chief. That's too high up.
Okay. The deputy chief.
Yeah. He's the deputy.
Deputy chief Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Nice.
We have to give him a different name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot that was his real name, wasn't it? Steve Giamatti.
Lieutenant Dick Peeper. Yeah, so there we go. And it's basically a lot of action set pieces. A lot of Carl Weathers, you know, getting back in the action game, strutting his stuff a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
His house gets totaled yet again. The horse gets out. You know, nice little callbacks to the original. Lots of Seagal looking out, thinking of his time with O'Malley. You know, those two scenes he's in with him.
Have we got a catchphrase at all for Giamatti? Like, take it to the bank. Have we got anything like that for him?
Do you think we need one?
Oh, it'd just be another little nod to the original, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Are you looking at my dick?
I'm not, no.
Well, good.
I was just thinking of a catchphrase.
I'll put it away then.
Thanks for the offer.
I've got it.
Yeah.
You fucked...
What? What?
You fucked the wrong dick.
Superb. Why would the deputy chief keep saying that?
You know, when they get like the rotors and he sees he's been put on weekends, I guess.
It's the deputy chief. He's not gonna be put on a weekend. He's too high up.
Well, he has been. So he says that.
What, every day?
Yeah. You know when they go for the coffee run and they get his order wrong?
It's the deputy chief. I think somebody makes him coffee.
Exactly, and they get his order wrong.
I don't know. I think you've got the hierarchy of the police force wrong. I think you're talking about just a normal detective here.
Okay, then.
Not the deputy chief.
All right, then. He's Detective Dick Peeper. And
he says that a lot.
And we need something like, you can take it to the bank, but not that, because it's too obvious. He can't say it as well. The previous.
You can also take this to the bank. I don't know, it's complicated, isn't it, this? I mean, we laughed at the take it to the bank, but it's difficult to come up with a phrase like that.
Yeah. Seagal can say at the end, up yours, Peeper.
Up yours, Dick. And Kelly LeBrock just turns up and raises an eyebrow.
There will be more of that, obviously, in the film, when Seagal's comatose, but from Carl Weathers. That's who she learned that from.
Please wake up. I'm not happy about his name. I mean, that would kind of suggest that he was related to Kelly LeBrock in the film, not in real life.
Lieutenant Willie Peeper. Is that better?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why not? No. Of course it's not.
William Peeper.
Yeah. Well, all right, fuck it, I don't care.
Kind of like Peeper.
Peeper.
Yeah.
That one's called Peeper. It's not a surname, is it? No one is called Peeper.
I'm just thinking of the fucking meeting with Paul Giamatti. Right, Paul, we want you to play. Lieutenant Dick Peeper. You got a catchphrase.
Yeah, what is it?
You fucked the wrong dick. You in or out? Hey, are you in or out? That could be his catchphrase. The lieutenant can be like, so what's the news? Is Dick in or is Dick out?
Dick's out, sir. He's like, oh, God.
That can be actually at the meeting for Seagal when he's listening in. And one of them says, Dick's in or Dick's out? Dick's out, sir. And at that point, Seagal gets knocked over the banister.
Quite right, too.
So, yeah, Dick Peeper.
So, what, that's it then. That'll do.
That'll do, yeah.
Let's just call it there. That's. I'd watch it. I was going to say I'm in, but Dick's out.
You're in, Dick's out.
You're in. Dick's out, you're in.
And on that note, so that's harder to kill.
Yeah, I think we've gone to a winner.
I'm sure Seagal would be in this carry-on style comedy with his ex-wife who he hates.
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
Yes, the incredible actor.
Max, who's shirtless throughout as a mafioso boss.
Yeah, he's still there, isn't he? Yeah, well, why not? Let's do it.
It's alive!
Based on the best-selling series of the Delirium books by Mary, what was her name?
Mary Morrison.
Mary Morrison, of course. This is a kind of prequel. I was going to go for a sequel, but then I realised if the books were already on her shelf, couldn't really be a sequel, could it? Because they were written before whatever new book that she'd written, which I assume would have been called Deadly Illusions.
Mm.
So this one, I've combined two of the books on the shelf, and I've called it Wednesday Luncheon at the Yacht Club.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I thought...
To be honest, this sounds more like a diary entry than a film, but go on.
Yeah, well, it's that kind of low-key... title, I think, will draw people in. They'll think, oh, that sounds pleasant. And possibly they'll think it's like a Downton Abbey kind of thing.
Mm.
But no, it's murder, it's sex, it's murderous sex. Yeah, so that's it. I've got the same cast coming back because it's a prequel.
Right.
Grace, Greer Grammar, she's actually working as a waitress there. So this is like a bit of the precursor to her eavesdropping as a gym hand, or whatever it is they're called. I don't know. I don't go to the gym. So she's working as a waitress there. So she's eavesdropping then as well, because that's what she does. She's a bit nosy. Margaret's not even in it, okay? We don't even get Margaret. The split personality's gone. That's nothing to do with this.
Right.
Make that very, very clear. Or maybe for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's actually the just, pivotal point of the entire film.
Just throw it in there.
Why not? It depends how we're getting on. Again, so you've got Kristen Davis again as Mary. You've got Tom. He's still there. He's still there with his lob on. You know, just walking around, sleazing the place up.
Yeah.
I've got Ray. Ray, who's the husband of Elaine, who struggled to speak in the first film, he's going to be the maitre d' at the yacht club. That's how he earns his money.
Right.
So he's in charge of the luncheon on Wednesday.
Yes. Important role for Ray.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't just do Wednesdays. You know, it's just good. On this occasion, this is Wednesday.
Right.
I did think it would be kind of like a bit of, like in Clue.
Yes.
Or Cluedo.
One of my favourite films.
Yeah, well, I thought it'd be a bit like that, where it'd be sort of like frenetic, breakneck scenes from one to the next, murder mystery, whodunit.
Sounds delightful. Any fingering in this one?
Oh, yes.
That was terrific.
Yeah, there's plenty of fingering.
Yeah. That's one of the reviews it's that's on the poster.
It's on the menu.
That should be the tagline.
Fingering's on the menu. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Yeah, so I've got... who else is in this film? Oh, I made it a prequel so Elaine can be in it again.
Oh,
because obviously, you know, we couldn't resurrect her. That would be too much even for this. I can't remember who else is in the film now.
That's it, isn't it? The two kids.
It's a prequel. They're even younger.
Hanging around the yacht club.
All the parents are there.
They've got no nanny, I suppose.
No, they have. And that's played by Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Yeah, fresh from the hospital, maternity ward. He wears his greens overalls at all times from the ward.
Sunglasses, bandana.
The bandana is hospital regulation bandana.
Oh, yeah, what they wear in surgery.
Yeah, he's wearing that. Yeah, he's not wearing his mask, obviously. You get to see his moustache.
And so. His yellow sunglasses.
He's got them on. Of course he has.
Feather boa.
Yeah, he's looking after the kids. So he's there at the yacht club.
Yeah.
Inconspicuous as ever.
6'6".
Yeah, and there's a murder. I don't know who it is that gets killed. Not sure.
No.
Can't be any of their characters because it's a prequel. They're all in the next one. So it has to be an incidental character. Maybe a diner at another table. Yeah. To be honest, it's going to be a little bit like an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The 18 to 30 category that every film production company aims for, I'm sure will be lapping this fucking film pitch up.
Well, yeah, called Wednesday Luncheon at the Yacht Club. Exactly what I'm aiming it at.
It's basically a Murder, She Wrote episode with Hulk Hogan in it.
You know he didn't do it.
Brother.
He's friends with Jessica Fletcher. She's not even in it. Actually, yeah, she could be. She could be the person who uses the keyboard. Like the textbook nan.
Fucking hell, man. How old is Angela Lansbury now?
She'll be old enough to be the librarian. Nearly old enough to be that librarian.
Oh, God.
She's working the till.
Do we get any police in this?
Not in the first instance. I know where you're aiming for it. I know what you're going for. But I think you'll find on this occasion, the head chef... is played by Carl Weathers. That's who the chef is. I've already got it written down.
Well, the big hat.
Yeah, Carl Weathers as head chef.
Whoa, 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 whoa. There's still plenty of meat on that bone. You can throw it in a pot, add some broth, a potato. Baby, you got a stew going.
His sous chef should be played by Mr. T.
Oh, man, imagine that.
He's called sous chef Mr. T.
Okay, in that case, because I was going to have Stallone as a head chef.
Okay, not Carl Weathers.
He's a head... Oh, shit, no, head waiter.
Head waiter, yeah.
Sorry, head waiter. Yeah. And I think Carl Weathers as well with his chef hat. It has to be the...
Union Jack.
The American Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes chef hat.
So what we've got here, Ken, basically then, correct me if I'm wrong, is a Deadly Illusions and Rocky crossover.
I don't know who gets killed either.
No, neither do I.
We said the incidental character.
Maybe Stallone, because I don't know if we can afford to have him for a long period of time in the film.
He'd still have to be like one of the top billed names, though, wouldn't he? Well, that throws up a lot of questions.
Yeah, who could
overpower Stallone?
I'll tell you who.
Yeah, I know.
Who are you going for?
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Who are we going to keep with the nanny did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the nanny did it motif.
That's why he's not in the next one. It would actually raise the question of would she trust another nanny again if her previous one was committed murder?
I think there's enough subtle differences between Greer Grammer and Hulk Hogan for her to not connect the two.
Really? Do point them out to me.
However, they are both blonde.
And you're not telling me Hulk Hogan hasn't fingered Kristen Davis in the bathtub?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that's definitely not happened, but nor am I going to tell you it definitely has happened. I think that's between the two of them.
Yeah.
If they ever want to come out and tell us a story about that, well, I'm not sure why they would.
It's probably not a badge of honour on Kristen's part.
That would be a weird press release, wouldn't it, from either of them? Let me tell you something, brother. You never guess.
That's Kristen that says that.
You never guess who I've been fingering.
I don't know, Ken, who have you?
Hulk Hogan. In the bath.
Oh, God. Fingering Hulk Hogan sounds... It sounds like some sort of crime documentary.
I'm not sure who to press the charges.
Ultimate Warrior.
I don't know what I was going to
say. Who'd have thought, Ken? Who'd have thought when we started this podcast, we'd be talking about you fingering Hulk Hogan in a bathtub? Not me.
Probably just me then.
Maybe Hulk.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you got any set pieces for this film that you'd like to explain to us?
I was going to say it's like all in real time, but it starts with Carl preparing the luncheon.
It's definitely a different vibe. This is sort of lesbian action in the first one, whereas this is more of a...
That's because I haven't got any other female characters. I mean, yeah. I've got Hulk Hogan, who could easily just be sexually advancing on characters.
But... Yeah, but I don't think you want Hulk.
No, personally, no, I don't.
Whereas before it was like a young woman seducing an older woman, now you're talking about an ex-professional wrestler seducing older women. But younger women compared to him.
What's wrong with that?
Fucking hell.
Which again sounds like a documentary series. I don't know any young actresses. What's the other Kristen called?
Stewart.
Kristen Stewart. Could we get her?
Yeah, she could play.
What can she do?
She could probably be...
Front of house.
Yeah, she could be the hello, madam. That's a very nice hat you're wearing. I'm thinking of Spinal Tap now.
Have you ever done that job? You sound like a natural.
I don't know. What are the hours? Yeah, I think she could be...
she could be in it, yeah.
Him and her and Stallone, the creme de la creme of waiter service.
Well, he's the rough and ready head waiter. Well, that's a yacht club, isn't it? Yeah. But he's going to get killed, yeah?
So I've got a scene for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, picture this. Tom and Mary, they come in. They've got the kids.
I like the way you're leaning in now to give us the full effect.
Yeah, I am. Tom says, "Hey, sweet cheeks, I really like the way your tits look."
Yeah, who to?
Hulk Hogan says, "Thank you, brother."
I put a lot of work into him.
"Thank you, brother. This is why I don't wear a bra."
This is why I drink my milk and take my vitamins.
And then Mary says, "Why don't we sit by the window?"
And Hulk Hogan says, yeah, good idea, brother. Does he ever realise that everyone's not talking to him? Or does he always doing that?
Yeah, he does, yeah. So they go and sit down and they say, hey, I'm thinking of a series of books that I want to write based around this yacht club. And the waiter then says, So that's Kristen Stewart.
That's incredible. I really hope you're going to do impressions for every one of these characters.
So she starts talking to Tom about that. She's got an idea for the delirium books that she's got, because you say this is set beforehand, right?
It is, yeah.
So yeah, she's got the idea about the delirium books, and then she looks across and she notices there's a very obnoxious... he's the owner of the place. He's complaining.
What's he complaining about? It's his club.
He's not happy. He's not happy with how the staff are.
He's not happy about the luncheon.
He's not happy about the luncheon. He's not happy with Weathers or tea.
Jesus Christ, he's got some front.
Yeah, he has.
Okay. Is that his name?
His name is Frank Yacht Club.
All right, so the place is named after himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. His name is Freddy Yacht Club.
Oh, that's more sense, yeah. Frank sounded stupid.
Yeah, Freddy Yacht Club with his wife, Pippa.
Is it hyphenated, his surname?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a long line of yacht clubs. And yeah, he's complaining. He's he got it from his dad. His dad passed away. He's not happy. He's going to sell the fucking place.
What was his dad called?
Freddy Yacht Club Senior.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so he's going to shut the whole fucking place down. He's had enough of this shit.
Who's playing Freddy Yacht Club Jr.?
Freddy Yacht Club Jr. is played by Freddy Prince Jr.
Oh, that's cool, because you can still call him Freddy.
Yeah. I didn't want to confuse
him. And Jr.
Freddy Yacht.
Is there any role for Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes. I'm glad you've asked.
I'll let you carry on.
He plays his wife, Pippa.
Not again. This is former prostitute. Well, that was it.
Honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle.
Yeah. One thing you need to know about these movie pictures is if you haven't listened to every single episode we've done, you won't understand any of the jokes where we mention previous film pictures.
Yeah, so bloody listen to them.
Yeah, you bastard.
Serves you right. Yeah. Serves you bloody right.
Yeah, so Cuba Gooding Jr. plays Pippa, Yacht Club. And
can she keep her former life as a transvestite prostitute called Honeysuckle?
I don't see why not.
That gives us a bit more backstory.
Yeah. So
whether we've got time to go there, I don't know.
Yeah, so they're obnoxiously complaining. You hear what's going on. And the lights go out. There's a murder. You know, there's a few of the... It's a very ensemble film, I think. I think that's what we're going for, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of characters.
Yeah, like Clue, yeah.
Yeah, like Clue, exactly. So you've got some other people in there as well. You've got Colonel Mustard. Who's playing the detective that comes to solve the case, though?
I've already used Carl Weathers, haven't we?
Yeah.
Could it be Carl Weathers again?
We can't give him dual roles. Why not? I think him and Mr. T as the chefs are mind you, he's got to be a policeman, hasn't he, Carl? Maybe we have to
recast. He's undercover as a chef, as a head chef.
Why would he be undercover before the murders happened?
Because there's always something going on at the yacht club.
That's what he always says. He always says that to top brass.
That's why he's been undercover for 3 years. And nothing's happened.
No, just serving really shit food.
But he keeps telling his bosses, something's always happening.
Something's always happening at the yacht club.
So they say, okay, you've got 6 more months.
You've got detective, 6 years to prove
detective
that.
Detective Garweathers. He says, I'll take it.
So what happens is...
So he's the cop, but he's pretending to be a chef and has done for 3 years now.
What happens is the lights go out and Freddie Yacht Club Jr. is killed.
Oh, shit.
He was going to sell the yacht club. That's it. The rest of the movie is about finding out the killer. And then you've got all this ensemble cast of people who were in the yacht club at the time.
So then, head chef Carl Weathers takes off his Stars and Stripes chef's hat. Underneath, he's got this police captain's hat.
He's got the little, like, English policeman's helmet, but tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we don't know why.
He's half English, you see, so he likes to keep it traditional in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he take that off, though, and put on, and just have no hat?
No.
And he keeps that on.
Mr. T also wears one as well because he's undercover as well. Yeah, so okay, so I guess it's up to Carl Weathers to crack the case.
And Mr. T.
And Hulk Hogan.
They're a team.
Yeah.
Well, Hulk Hogan, I mean, he's a suspect on this.
Yeah.
As are they all. They're all suspects. Everyone's fingerprints are everywhere because they're all there. So it could be any of them. Literally anybody in that restaurant.
Anyone could get fingered.
Yeah. And somebody will.
Let's hope we finger the right person. Is this the conversation Weathers and T have together? I think it turns out that it's Pippa. It's Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character that is the killer. What do you think?
Really? Who fingers her?
Everyone.
It's alive!
Again, Adam Hughes suggested we watch that film and do the podcast on it. He also, when I pushed him for more, he gave me a film title only of a new pitch and then said he'd get back to me and then didn't. So well, I'll give him partial credit for this because I've also changed the title. So he tried, but I've overruled him. He came up with Construction Woman, which, yeah. But I've changed it to Demolition Woman. I'm just going straight on the same theme.
Well, that's kind of like nowadays, you know, the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, well, that's why I've gone for it, you see. I thought I'd just switch it around. Rather than Construction Woman, which is just a female builder, just going around about building stuff and just being good at the job. This is...
won an Oscar, that film.
This is Demolition Woman, starring Sylvester Stallone's daughter, Sistine Rose Stallone.
You were going to say Sylvester Stallone, just in drag.
Not again. Not after Nighthawks. No, it's his daughter who was in, 47 Meters Down? Uncaged. Is it 47 metres or 27? I don't know how many metres down.
She's an actress, is she?
But however many metres down she was, 47, just checked. Yes, 2019, 47 metres down, uncaged shark attack film. So she's got an acting credit already. She's going to be in this as Spartan. Just the name Spartan. She's never got a first name because we don't need one. Anyway, this is the daughter that Stallone was talking about in the first film. Now, you mentioned that they're going to make a sequel to Demolition Man, which means all of this could be in the film, in which case I better get this recorded down now so I can say that it was my idea. The recently unpopular Gina Carano is down on my list here, playing Phoenix.
Right.
Again, there's no first name.
She Wesley Snipes not got a daughter?
I don't know. Not that looks like Gina Carano, I shouldn't imagine, no. But she's just going to be called Phoenix. Whether it's the same, I don't know. It's up to the viewer. Senator Cocteau, played by Judi Dench. Yeah? Dame Judi Dench, apologies.
Yeah.
Bob is still in it, but this time Bob is, because it's the same character, Bob. Everyone else is a different character, but related. Bob is played by Jack Black.
No.
Who's back from his previous Demolition Man journey.
I thought we'd hit a massive stumbling block then because the guy who plays Bob is dead.
Well, I know he's dead, yeah. I was waiting for you to say, why can't he play it? But because he sadly passed away, yeah. So he can't do that. But Jack Black is there. And I think on this occasion, we probably would get the Deo song. Why not? Mm. I think Jack Black could do that for us. I think he definitely wanted.
Little nod of the head to the Bob character, the actor who played Bob.
I think so, and I think he'd happily do that. Yeah. Even if we didn't want him to, he'd think he probably would.
Yeah.
And that's it. I haven't got any sort of plot other than it's the same plot. But I think we're even further in the future.
Is there a Sandra Bullock male character?
No, okay. Now,
called Huxley?
Yeah, Huxley Pig.
Huxley Pig.
I did think of this, and I kind of thought it would be like a Rob Schneider character, but then I remembered he was in this film as well, so he can't be him.
No.
Although he was a cop, so it could be him, I guess. But, I mean, I'm not really sure if I want the plot to be exactly the same. Are they both frozen? Why are they both frozen?
Because,
you know, that was me stumbling block.
Yeah.
I mean, I got further than Adam.
Construction woman.
Which he may just have said something he was looking at the time. I don't know. It's not overly a huge amount of thought got into it. But, yeah, I mean, short of just being the same plot again, I'm not really sure what to do. Unless we just cancel out all the future stuff and it's just set in the future. Nobody's been frozen.
I guess so, yeah, because...
She's just got the Spartan gene, so she's aggressive.
Wears a beret.
She's got a beret. Yeah. I think she looked very good in a beret.
My question is, where does Carl Weathers fit in all this?
Well, he's the captain.
He's the police chief.
He's Spartan's captain, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Yeah. What's his name in it?
Carl Weathers. Yeah. And he appreciates Spartan, not like this idiot in the original Demolition Man who can't bear him. He doesn't call her bloody caveman and stuff like that.
Wouldn't make any sense, would it?
No, exactly. That's why he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not an idiot.
What does he call her?
Sweet cheeks.
Oh, that's better.
No, he doesn't. He's very, very professional. Yeah, and I don't know, Gina Carano, she's just going around beating people up, saying things that are unpopular.
Has she got the Wesley Snipes blonde hair? What's she got?
Well, she's got longer hair. She's not having it cut like his. She's only got a little flat top. I don't know, I feel bad for her. I don't know what she said or anything. But,
no, you know, me neither.
I just like her, yeah.
I just saw that she got kicked off the show.
I like her. I saw her in that film. I can't remember what it's called now.
Daredevil?
No.
No, Deadpool?
No, the proper one. Haywire.
That's the proper one, is it?
Well, yeah. She kicks everyone's head in.
No, I've seen her in...
she's hard as fuck.
In Deadpool. She's a UFC fighter, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Haywire. That's the film. You want to watch a film with her in it, Haywire's the film.
Yeah.
She's mental. You know, I like a
muscular
a lady like that. Yeah, yeah, she's absolutely amazing in that. Terrifying, but fantastic.
I guess would this be set? So if this set after Demolition Man,
that's why we've got violence back in the world.
The world wouldn't be the same, would it? That's what I was thinking.
No, it has been. It's been affected. Obviously, Senator Cocteau, Dame Judi Dench. He's trying to keep some sort of semblance of order.
Is that his wife?
No. No, it's his mum.
It's his Cocteau's mum, is it?
It's auntie. It's his aunt.
Aunt Cocteau.
That's not what they call her, is it? That's her surname.
Auntie Cocteau.
That's what all his aunties would be called if that was how he wed it.
I don't know what to add to that.
It's his sister then. There you go. It's his sister.
His sister, it's yes, his sister. Of course.
Never married.
Yeah, and she's got Jack Black as a little...
Bob.
As Bob.
It's the same character. It's Bob.
Yeah.
He's gone on. He's moved on to Senator Cocteau because she's achieved power since the world changed. She said she'd be different.
Maybe Phoenix is the Edgar-friendly character doing the same thing, trying to do an uprising, but for... Not for
but
just
for
food.
Her own nefarious deeds.
Yeah, she yeah. wants.
She wants to rule the place.
Yeah,
she's not there just to help people get food. The real Edgar Friendly is doing that because he now runs a
dojo,
supermarket, and a dojo around the back.
Maybe he should be senator. Maybe he's moved on to be senator.
That doesn't make any sense.
Senator Friendly.
What is Judi Dench going to do?
Judi Dench. She's
she can run the dojo.
Yeah. She's the auntie.
Doing what?
I don't know.
Knitting.
What the fuck?
Knitting with John. Yeah. Big John.
That should be like in a magazine or something. You see John Spartan's knitwear. That's what he's gone on to do.
I thought you meant it should be like a series. Judi Dench and Sylvester Stallone knit.
I'd watch it.
Netflix would make it.
Netflix.
Oh, superb.
It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Okay, it's now time for the film pitch. Ken, what have you got for us?
Well, obviously basing it on the Hobgoblins aspect of things, I've come up with the Cockwombles. Cockwombles 3. We're going to start straight in with the third one of the franchise.
What?
I'm anticipating that there will be a clamour for, where are the other two? I haven't seen the previous two films of the Cockwombles series, and that's because there aren't any. We're going to start with the third one. People will want to see the first two, and then we go back and we make them as prequels.
Oh, like George Lucas. You've gone the Star Wars route.
That's the route I went. Yeah,
yeah, but with a more plausible story.
I think mine will interest people a little bit more than whatever film you said. I can't remember what you mentioned there.
Star Wars.
Yeah, whatever. I think mine has got more accessibility for the viewer.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm in a shop and I see Cockwombles, the DVD Cockwombles 3. Yeah. I'm picking it up.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people would. You never, if you ever see a cockwomble, don't be afraid to pick it up.
What's the plot for this film?
Well, I've got a subheading. It's Cockwombles 3, The Wombled Tit.
Okay, is it a bird?
No. No, it's irrelevant to the film. The subheading's irrelevant.
Okay, it's just a headline grabber.
I just liked it. I just liked it when I wrote it. I thought I liked that. The Wombled Tit.
Okay.
The Cockwomble is basically a hairy version of the female gremlin that we all fell in love with when we saw it for the first time.
Female gremlin gets more airing on this podcast than it did in the film.
It was quite sexy.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Yeah, but I'm sure everyone agrees it was a sexy thing as far as puppets go.
I'm sure they would. Yeah. Write in if you agree.
Yeah, just don't report it to the police.
Okay, carry on.
What happens with the Cockwombles? They emerge from men's trousers and wreak havoc. And that's all the plot I've got.
How the hell are they in men's trousers?
Because they are. Okay, well, I've kind of got more plot then. They are alien disease caused and transmitted by unsafe sex.
Oh, yeah, having a little bit of a...
It's a social commentary film. Yeah. Cockwombles 3. I think it will possibly be shown in schools.
Yeah.
As warnings to the children.
What's the film that's passed on from having sex, the...
was the film that's passed on from having
no,
sex.
The premise is you get killed by something. It follows. Yeah. Yes. So it's sort of It Follows, but with cockwombles in it.
Yeah, which I think it makes it more accessible because it's a bit of fun.
And also great merchandising. All the kids are going to want a cockwomble, aren't they, for Christmas?
Oh, that's what I keep telling kids.
God, I hope you don't. What else you got?
Well, obviously I've got a cast.
All right,
I've got a cast for the film. I've not got much of a plot, as I've already just read out. But the cast is, I've got a couple of high school kids. And I went with the classic kids actors, Miko Hughes and Dakota Fanning, who I believe are in their early teens.
They're probably 30 plus at this point.
Yeah.
Miko Hughes, for people who don't know, is the child from Pet Sematary, Kindergarten Cop.
That's right, yeah.
And Dakota Fanning is the child in every Hollywood film in the early 2000s.
Man on Fire and Hide and Seek, I think.
Yeah, De Niro's horror film.
Yeah, so I think that, well, there must be about 15, 16 by now.
Yeah, probably.
I've got no relevance of time in any of my films. So, yeah, I think they're the high school kids. They're the ones that are in danger, obviously, of transmitting the cockwomble.
Nice little look at maybe the coronavirus as well. Very timely.
Well, we're in a,
just pandemics.
We're in
you know?
A difficult time, aren't we? We're in a difficult time, and when more relevant than throwing in a cockwomble.
Yeah, cockwombles have never been more relevant than right now.
Yeah, and that's what's really scary. Because this is fiction, but it could so easily be fact.
It could easily be fact. This is so plausible. All right, what else you got?
Well, I've got Steve Guttenberg from the Police Academy. Are you okay? Steve Guttenberg. Oh.
Yeah. What's he doing?
Well, he's a cop, obviously, because he's from Police Academy. So he's graduated from the academy, as you well know.
Oh, sorry, I was just taking a drink when he mentioned Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg is a cop. He's still on the beat.
Can I ask who his chief of police is?
You can, but wait until I give you his partner first, because Steve Guttenberg and Jennifer Aniston.
Is his partner?
That's his partner. Yes, they're both on the case of the cockwomble.
What a great on screen pairing.
Well, I thought about it and I thought he's well known, of course, from being a cop from his Police Academy escapades. Jennifer Aniston, probably looking for work.
Yeah, I mean her return after Leprechaun, the horror genre.
She owes it, so she's coming back. Maybe even get the same director, same writing team. I don't know. And they're involved. They're involved in this. He's still a beat cop because you saw what antics he got up to in the academy. So he's never progressed. Never really progressed.
Is it Mahoney?
Mahoney, yeah.
Is he called that in this?
Yes, he is, yeah.
So this is Police Academy 12.
Okay, then we'll call him Maloney.
Baloney.
We'll call him Maloney Baloney. He's known as the Baloney.
The Baloney Sandwich.
Yeah. That's his nickname in this. Yeah, if that's what you want. Jennifer Aniston, I haven't got a name for her yet. Maybe Jenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. She's called Jenny and he's called the Bologna.
The Bologna Sandwich.
It seems like...
It seems plausible.
Yeah, it's a decent police pairing. So anyway, Jenny and the Bologna Sandwich... head on to the high school.
That was one of our album names, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't as popular. It wasn't as popular, though, was it? We hit that. We went folk.
Very unpopular with vegans.
Yeah, we went folk, didn't we? And that was the vegan market. So, which the vegan market was...
it was where we sold the album. It was really bad planning on our part.
Yeah. We've only got ourselves to blame. The police chief, of course, is played by Carl Weathers.
Of course he is.
As himself. Who's really desperately trying to find out what's causing this cockwomble outbreak. And Carl Weathers also plays the father of Dakota Fanning.
Get me bologna sandwich. And then his secretary doesn't know whether to give him actually a bologna sandwich or get Guttenberg involved.
Yeah, his secretary is played by...
the woman from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's who I was trying to think
was it?
Of, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name is. Yeah, her. Yeah,
she's the one that hits the buzzer and shouts, we got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she does, actually, when he says, get me bologna sandwich. And then she maybe winks to the camera as a little, remember that, Janine.
Janine.
Yeah, I just thought of that while we were talking. Yeah,
Janine from Ghostbusters. Yeah,
it saves me messaging you later with Janine and then several exclamation marks, like I do when I can't remember things.
Yeah.
So yeah, Janine from Ghostbusters is his secretary. And I can't really think of anything else that
Dakota
happens.
Fanning is white.
Well, I don't know if that's relevant at this point.
Didn't you say?
Yes, she's Carl Weathers' daughter, yeah. I think we live in a world where that's not important.
Okay, carry on. So her name is... What's her name in the film?
Dakota Weathers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So Dakota and Dakota Weathers and Miko Hughes as Chad.
Chad Hogan.
No, we can't do that. Chad Fletcher.
Yeah, that's better. Mm. Is this just men that can get cock wombles or women?
Well, no, it comes from men, obviously, due to the name of the beast.
Yeah, well, it comes from outer space, but it's
yes,
spread.
Yes, but it emerges from men's trousers.
Right, so women can carry it, but they don't show signs
of
it.
No, they don't, but they can transmit it.
Right.
Into other men's trousers.
So Carl Weathers can say, my daughter has a serious case of the cock wombles.
He does say that, actually, in this film to Janine from Ghostbusters. And she alerts...
The bologna sandwich. This has gone off the rails, this pitch. Who's taking this film on? Steve, thanks for meeting with us. We want you to play the bologna sandwich in this film.
I think he'd do it.
I think he probably would at this point.
I think he would. If his partner's Jennifer Aniston, I'd do it.
Yeah. Jen, we want you to play the partner of a bologna sandwich in this film. Are you interested?
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Who's playing Cockwomble 1?
Warwick Davis.
Yeah, obviously.
Of course. Yeah. The legendary Warwick Davis. He's Cockwomble number one. Might even give him a different name, an actual character name, rather than just that.
Is he the Wombled Tit?
Yes.
Hi, Warwick. Thank you for meeting us. We want you to play the Wombled Tit in Cockwombles 3. We've got Steve Guttenberg in. He's going to play a bologna sandwich. I can just imagine the fucking...
He's already signed.
He's already signed up. He's ready. He's a method actor, so he's looking into... Literally looking into sandwiches. He's literally looking into sandwiches at this point.
Yeah. And that's my cast. Obviously, there'll be extras. It's not just one cock womble, but he would be the womble tit.
That was the tagline for the second film of the cock wombles, wasn't it? It's not just one.
It's not just one.
Yeah, I like it.
But we'll get to that. We'll go back. Obviously, we'll regress with time. And but with the beauty of starting with episode 3 is that we get the ending already, so we know where to work up until.
It's smart, that. I think we need to get in touch with our old friend Lloyd Kaufman for
Uncle Lloyd.
I think he is going to want to make this. This seems like a trauma film to me.
And I think that the fact we start with number 3, it's got to appeal. It's got to. In this crazy world we live in, who wants order? Who wants it?
Who wants a bologna sandwich?
Steve Guttenberg.
Have you got anything else written down for this? Or is this is what we're going to Lloyd Kaufman with?
I haven't got half of this written down. This is just...
To be honest with you, this is probably better than a lot of the pitches he receives.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think?
I think we need to get Uncle Lloyd on the phone and see if we can make this happen. Yeah. I think Aniston might be a stretch.
Okay. Then Jennifer McCarthy?
Yeah, she'll do it.
I was just thinking of other people called Jennifer.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with that one.
Yeah, she'll probably do it. If we can't get Aniston, we'll just
get Jennifer Lopez, but she's probably way off budget.
Yeah.
Plus, there'd have to be a sex scene if she was in it to prove she's still attractive. She is, by the way. I mean, I've seen films with her. She is. It's just unnecessary sex scenes.
What, in Cock Wombles?
Oh, yeah, that's handsome.
Well, if it's Troma, we're definitely going to have some, aren't we? So we're heading straight to the Troma Studios, wherever the hell that is.
with this,
yeah, somewhere. Yeah, it's not that big. It's somewhere.
Definitely in America.
I like it. You want to add anything else, or are we booked it? We're on the plane over to...
I think I'm going to sign that off right there and just hope for the best.
Yeah. You know what? You shoot off now, get in touch with Lloyd, and I will say thank you for listening to...
Just one. Yep. Okay, right. Thank you very much. I'm going right now to America and Cockwombles 3. See you later. Thank you. Bye.
And all that's left for me to say is thank you for... And there he goes. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bad Movie Cult Podcast. Hopefully Ken will be back next week. So for me, Dominic Lawton, and for Ken B. Wilde,
yes,
we will see you next time.
Everybody have sex tonight.